सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 5. Bhagavan is the objective of all Vedic knowledge. So bottom of 63. There are two kinds of jnanis. One is inclined to devotional service and the other to impersonal realization. Impersonalists generally undergo great endeavor for no tangible benefit. And therefore it is said that they are husking paddy that has no grain. Shtula tushta vaghatinaha. The other class of jnanis, whose jnana is mixed with bhakti, are also of two kinds. Those who are devoted to the so-called false form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Satchidananda Vigraha. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The actual spiritual form. The Mayavadi devotees worship Narayana or Vishnu with the idea that Vishnu has accepted a form of Maya and that the ultimate truth is actually impersonal. The pure devotee, however, never thinks that Vishnu has accepted a body of Maya. Instead, he knows perfectly well that the original absolute truth is the Supreme Person. Such a devotee is actually situated in knowledge. He never merges in the Brahman effulgence. Yeah, because they do, like, you have the, I think in India you have the Satyanarayan Puja and all that, so that they're worshipping Vishnu as the, you know, embodiment of the mode of goodness. So it's not actually a transcendental. That's the part of the Panchopasana. Right? But in doing so, you know, at least then they're worshipping the Lord and all that. So then it can be a stepping stone, because then they're open to hearing about Vishnu, and then they may meet a pure devotee. Then they may be put on the correct path. Right? But otherwise, then they won't. Okay. Unless the dirt within the core of one's heart is cleansed away, one cannot become a pure devotee. Therefore, the word sudurlabha, very rarely found, is used in this verse. Not only among hundreds and thousands, but among millions of perfectly liberated souls, a pure devotee is hardly ever found. Therefore, the words kotishvapi are used herein. Now, the koti is 10 million, right? Srimad Bhagavatam 6.14.5, purport. You know, that's what you also see is then they talk about the... Yeah. The knowledge is combined with its realization. Vijnana samanvitam. Remember is that when we're dealing with knowledge, that you're having that faith that what the scriptures say is correct. Right? So vijnana maya means you're situated in shastra. Otherwise, you're not going to be on that platform. So... you're appreciating the codes of Shastra, what they present. And then with intelligence, you try to analyze that, try to apply it, understand it, and then apply it into your life with the idea of coming to proper conclusion. Right? So that's actual the Vijnanamaya Purusha, right? Basis is, as we say, is Brahman. That you understand that is the transcendental. That's what one's trying to attain. But we see is that from that, you have those that are only interested in Brahman, so that's all they'll stop at. And so then at some point they'll come down from that. Then you have the Mayavadis who have the same thing and they think it's all illusion. They're even worse. Then you have the Mayavadis and the impersonalists who worship Vishnu, but only because of the benefit they'll get from liberation. Right? Because it said, whatever you want, you approach the Lord. So then the devotees, then that's very, very special. That's very rare. So that there are so many devotees and you know, and all that, and having that faith, that we see is the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his sending of the acharyas. Otherwise, there wouldn't be. So it's a very special situation. Like that. Yeah, it means you always have great devotees throughout all the ages. There's always pure devotees, but they're organized into missions in the Kali Yuga. Because otherwise, without it being organized, people aren't looking. In other ages, people have a tendency to look. And so the sages are there, they're available, everyone knows, so you can approach. But in the Kali Yuga, the tendency is that they don't. They aren't interested. So unless something's organized and all that, then you can't expand it in a great way. Okay. So then that becomes also the specialty in Kali Yuga, in such a simple way, then one can advance, you know? That it's so simple, so straightforward, and it basically comes to you. You know, it's like a, you know, delivery, right? Like that. You know. Yeah, at home delivery, right? Yeah. Not only that, okay. That knowledge combined with this realization, vijnana sanaman vitam. So how do you realize? Because you practice it. You try to apply it. Then only you realize. Not only that, it should be understood along with something which is secret in it, sarahasyam. So that means within the vijnana maya purusha, what's the actual conclusion is the connection to Krishna. He's the source of everything. He's everything. He's the ultimate goal. Not liberation. So that's the point, is the vijnana maya platform, its basis is Brahman, but its goal should not be Brahman. The goal should be Anandamaya, which means the Lord himself. Right? This is later explained to be prema bhakti. Also, one should understand its anga. There is offense. Realization and prema do not appear quickly. Therefore, one should also understand the assistant, anga, to be to the knowledge to avoid fence, to avoid a to avoid offense. This is later explained to be sadhana bhakti, such as hearing. Or sadhasyam can modify angam, understand sadhana bhakti along with prema. Right? So you're practicing sadhana bhakti, but your goal is prema. That then is proper. Otherwise, if sadhana bhakti you think it's complete in itself, then one hasn't properly understood. Also, then how will you be able to perform? Because what's the goal? Right? So some individuals who, you know, have a, you know, natural kind of position of goodness or inclination, they may be able to perform sadhana and everything and not have this as a goal. But they'll have to have something else as a goal. Right? So then they'll have something lower. You know, liberation or karma. But that can't last, that can only get you so far. And only the most pious people could do that. So here is that you can perform sadhana bhakti and appreciate it's the ultimate goal in prema. Then you'll get the solid result. So,
Maharaj, you can see that there is a lot of freedom, can say, with this topic. It's not automatic that one person practices Krishna consciousness to become a devotee.
It's not automatic in that you have to surrender, but if you have that faith and surrender, it's automatic. Because why do we say automatic? Because it means it's performing the work, not us. Right? Like that. And so, like, we push the button and the machine washes the clothes. Right? But that's the point. There has to be that faith, that surrender, and then Krishna will take care of the rest. That's why he says, don't worry, he'll take care of everything. But there must be that surrender. So if it's already understood the aspect of surrender, then it's automatic. But if not, then you have to understand this is what you have to do. That's why you sometimes see that some individuals will make the point, well, it's not automatic. Because they're meaning you have to surrender, but we're already working, that's already been stated. You surrender to Krishna, it's automatic. Krishna takes care. Right? So now, if you follow the devotional process properly and all that, then it's going to work. It's not a problem. So that faith, that's also one of the positions of Bhava, is that faith that Krishna will give his mercy. Because we have to understand, it's not because of the mechanics of the sadhana, it's because of the attitude. So if the attitude's right, you get the result. Attitude's not right, no matter how great the sadhana is, you won't get prema. You'll get purified, definitely. You know, like that. And so in that way, being purified, that brings you closer to Krishna. But the point is that unless you turn around, how do you get the benefit? Does that make sense? So one has to turn around. That's the whole point. If we have our back to Krishna, no matter how close we are, we still can't see Krishna. So yes, the religious processes and the sadhana bhakti, that will purify you. But when it's done to please Krishna, then that develops the bhakti. So that's why he's saying this knowledge, this anga, is this sadhana bhakti. But because you're performing the sadhana because of knowledge. Right? So then the knowledge is there, then you apply that knowledge. Is that? So there's always the point of application of knowledge. So that's why you can say, okay, you have these big intellectuals. Technically, they're situated on intelligence, so you would think that they're using the formula, basically, of the Vijnanamaya. But the basis isn't Brahman. They don't know they're not the body. So then, in application, they're applying at the level of consciousness is Anamoy. Right? Because it's just the sense and sense objects, and that's what they're conscious of. Though, intellectually, they're functioning as someone would on Vijnanamaya. So that's why when you explain nicely the philosophy and that, then it can be appreciated by them because they have that capacity. But the problem is the application of that is lower. Just like for the Karmakandi, he may be performing the activities of Manamoya, but his ultimate goal is also sense gratification. You know, so you have to see where the consciousness is, because the activity is one thing, and it gives that particular external result. Like we said, you'll be purified by sadhana, by religious activities. But only if it's in connection with Krishna, pleasing Krishna, then it takes on the quality of bhakti. Right? So the point is bhakti is the origin of all these. Right? In other words, the activities that in the material world are called pious, those are the original activities of bhakti. But they're only meant to please Krishna. So what is important to please Krishna, that's what's done. So you see in Vrindavan, it may vary. Because the mood is so absorbed in Krishna and so intense, you may or may not see certain external activities. Right? Dwarka, you'll see more of a regulation and all that. More of that kind of thing. But in Vaikuntha, then it'll be very, very regulated and all those kind of things. So that's why you... But at the same time, it's only that which is in connection with Krishna. So even in Vaikuntha, that's all rules and regulations, still they don't follow rules and regulations that are not about directly pleasing Vishnu. They're not worshiping demigods and other things like this, you know, forefather, any of these kind of aspects. So they're worshiping directly Vishnu, but it may have a very regulated and regimented form. Right? Dwarka will be a little less than in Vrindavan. It doesn't have that regimentation. Though it has a natural form, because it's based on rasa. Rasa has a natural form, a sarup. So therefore the pastimes and all that have a natural form. And since the taste is the actual ultimate point, the forms that are performed in Vrindavan, those simply become formalized in Dwarka, and then more, you know, more greater regimentation in Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? You know, so they just, it's obviously like Mother Jashoda will take Krishna to the place where he will be bathed. You know, it'll be a nice place and there's nice clothes, but she'll just bring him in and put him there, and then he'll get his bath, and then he'll be dressed. So the 16 items will be performed. But it'll be just simple, right? But in Vaikuntha, then there's going to be a whole procession, you know, with umbrellas and fans and this and kirtan, and he'll go to the bathing place and he'll sit there, and anything from the previous place where he was, all that will be removed, and then the rituals, he'll be welcomed to the place, he'll be, you know, worshipped. Then you'll perform the bath. Right? Then with another, you know, thing, then he'll get up from there and then he'll go to the Alankarasana. And then the same thing will happen again. You know, he'll be welcomed there, he'll be worshipped. You know, it's the same as what was done before, same what was in Mantrasana. You know, so that's the thing, is each one he goes, and that formally he's welcomed, you know, then he's worshipped. So that's done every time. What we see in Vrindavan, just he's taken there and the activity is performed. You know, she'll see he's sitting nicely, he's comfortable, you know, and all those things. But it doesn't have that formality, you know. Being bathed, he'll have to wash his mouth, he'll wash his feet. You know, so all these things will be accomplished. But they're just part of that natural relationship. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Do you understand that we have to do sadhana for pleasing Krishna? But without conditioning, we don't get taste while doing it for pleasing Krishna. So we don't austere to continuously do with that consciousness to please Krishna.
Okay, it'll be austere if we don't have that taste for Krishna, but the point is that's why it's called buddhi yoga. By intelligence, you know, because what taste are you getting from material life? I mean, there's talk about it. It's supposed to be fabulous. But is it? You know what I'm saying? It's in the mind. You know, it's just like, you know, hey, let's go out for Domino's pizza or something like that. It's not a great pizza. It's not actually that nice. It's funny, kind of crumbly crust. It's a weird crust. Like that, then they'll stick some cheese in it. Whoa, there's cheese on the crust. You know, and it's a whole thing. But I mean, you can make better pizza at home. Huh?
Those who go there, they don't.
Yeah, that's there. But I'm saying, but it's supposed to be, it's all happening, and oh, you know, we're hip and happening because we went out for Domino's or something like that. You know, so that the thing. What? So where is the enjoyment? It's simply shruti sukhat. It's heard about enjoyment. In the ad, everyone's smiling, everyone's in ecstasy. But you know, if you were paid that much money, you'd smile also. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I came up to you and said, here's 1,000 rupees, smile. You'll smile, a big smile. You know? Not a problem. So that's the thing is that it's just said you'll be happy. So that's the thing, that people pursue sense gratification. They don't actually attain it. They engage the senses, but there's no gratification. Right? Same way they intellectually apply the sense gratification of the intelligence and mind. And so mind with senses, that's called sense gratification. Mind with intelligence, that's called mental speculation. Right? But it's only when it's mind and devotion, then that's bhakti. So you're engaging the senses, you're engaging the intelligence. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the difficulty comes is, what's your alternative? You're saying, oh, it's so dry. Why are you here? Because the material world was just so fabulous, and just there was this overload of ecstasy that you just had to get away from it and do something dry and austere and all that just for a break, because it was just, the happiness was just too much. It's just like, oh my God, you know, it's like, oh no, another day of ecstasy, I can't handle it, you know, I gotta go do something really dry and like that, right? That was your motive, right? So therefore, there is no alternative. We see the great personalities, they're happy. It means, why do people buy stuff? Because then the ad people are happy. So they think, well, maybe I'll be happy. You know? So that's the idea. But we're coming across people who are there in these pastimes, who have been in the material world, who have come to that perfectional platform. And then they can say that between this and that, it's there's no comparison. Is that okay? So it's just a matter of intelligence. Just like, okay, let us say the kid, he's 10 years old, he's decided, like his parents, he's going to become a doctor. Okay? He's 10. When's he going to become a doctor? Yeah. Huh?
30
years. Yeah. It's a bit more time. Right? So he's going to have to have top marks, get into the top school, do 6 years, I think, you know, then do an internship of 2 years, then he can specialize, then he can actually, like that.
He can look for a job.
Yeah, then he can look for a job. Yeah. It's like that. So so then, and what drives him? Because he has that real taste of performing. You know, it's so great, you know, at 10 years old, you know, you get to do neuro brain surgery and all that. It's really exciting and all that, you know, right? You know? No. So it's by intelligence that they know this and they keep going forward. You know? Like that. That they can do this, and the benefit, the money, the prestige, the social, you know, all these different things. You know? You can fight over who's the chair? Who's that hospital? Is the chair? That's a university. You know, the head of department. You know, can fight over that. You know, so many things to look forward to. No, so you have to wait. So then, what's the problem now? Waiting. Right? Was there a fabulous taste in studying all that science and math? Right? So then, this is better. Yes?
Bhakti Vidyana Maharaj, he explains, because he has that background. So the scientists, they were looking for the hormone of happiness for years.
Okay.
And somehow, you know how it happens, coincidence?
Yeah, coincidence, yeah.
Then
they were looking for something else.
Some experiments, and then they apparently found it, and everybody was like in bliss, experimenting on the rats and mass people. So then, after some time...
That's why rats come and bother everybody. You know?
The scientists bother
them. You bother them, so that, you know, they have a community, and they're going to get back at you, you know?
So then, after, you know, some time, they tried to do on humans. So... it was going on nicely and everybody was happy, but after years of experimenting, they found that it's not a hormone of happiness, it's a hormone released when a person anticipating the happiness.
Oh.
So that's why social media is so exciting for so many people, because nothing really happens But when you scroll, you just, okay, the next...
Maybe the next one will be good.
It will give me... so then that hormone is released constantly.
And then you hit the bottom of the page, and then you realize nothing.
So it's not happiness as such, it's just anticipation. So the system is like that.
Yes.
So you feel it's going to have, like you said, shruti supam.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yes.
But it's...
It never happens.
I think Prabhupada uses the word phantasmagoria.
Phantasmagoria, yes.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
Scientifically true.
Yeah. That's what it's just so, because that's
And by the time they become intelligent enough to recognize this, death has approached. They have to die and reset more.
Yeah. So by the time you get it together, figure out who you are, get everything the way you want, then you're an old dude. You know, so it's like, you know, now what? You know, it's like
reset more.
You know, it's really annoying. You know. You know, it's kind of, you finally get it together. You're 65, you finally get your Ferrari and all that. But like, who cares? It's the 65-year-old sitting in a Ferrari. Who cares? You know? Does that make sense? You know, you want to see somebody a bit younger or something. So that's the problem. You know, I have that big fancy house, but now you got to, you know, before you want this huge mansion, but now you got to walk up on all the stairs, you know, just go from your room to the bathroom. It's like, my God, you know. You know, the kids have all moved out. You know, by the time you get what you planned, we have like this, the kids have all moved out, and now you're sitting in this big place, and what? So that's just the modes of nature. They're so clever. So there's the anticipation, because that's what drives you the whole life. In reality, you don't need all that. If it's there, you use it. And if it's not, you don't. See, like the Pandavas, they were born in the forest, grew up there. They were happy there. Then they came to the city. They used those facilities. They were happy. They went back to the forest. They were happy. They came back to the city, had even more opulence. They were happy. They went again to the forest and all that. They were happy. And again came back and then had that. And then went, then after they got all that together, then they left for the forest again. So, you know, it's overrated. Okay?
It seems that looking for material happiness is like looking for a mirage.
Looking for a mirage, yes, exactly. That's why it says, you know, they mentioned about the death. The deer goes into the desert seeing the mirage running until it dehydrates and dies. So that's the thing, you run your whole life and then you die. So that's the fun part, you know. And so,
it's not so funny.
No, that's why in the West no one wants to actually talk about these things, because it's too freaky for them. Their whole existence fall. You know, they're saying, oh, you know, breaking down Western civilization, this and that, and so many things. But that's not the actual real Western civilization. It's the idea that you know, just you can be happy and you don't have to worry about death and this and that. You know. You know, the whole point is like, when you get older, it should be easier, right? You know, you need less, you eat less, you do less, and all that. But if you follow these modern things, it's like, you know, they have all those funny little creams and ointments and all that, and make you not look old and stuff like that. And it costs so much. I'm sure, you know, they cost like 70, 80 bucks, 100 bucks for a little tube, right? I'm sure that it'll cost about, you know, 50 cents or something to make, you know? But whatever it is, because people will buy. So that means you're spending so much. You know, you could be doing something else with that. But, you know, so they just get the maximum until you die. Then, you know, you get too old, so you go into a home. Those are very expensive also. So it's just, the whole point is you're trying to enjoy and someone else is also trying to enjoy. And whoever's better at it is getting more facility. It's not good, but people don't want to hear this because there's nothing left. It's like that, I think it was in England, that lord, and that devotee was preaching to him, and then he understood is that the four regulative principles. He says that's our whole life. Our whole life is based on these four. You take away that, there is no life, you know, by the Western standard. Yes.
Like, when I was doing my master's, then next thing was to go for a PhD.
Right.
And one devotee told me, who was a senior, there is no research happening now to find any new drug for, new diseases, to cure new diseases.
Right.
All work, what is going on, is in the field of cosmetics. Because people don't care, when they die, but as long as they are, you want to look young.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, for all this COVID and all, you're not able to find a cure. Because nothing is happening. There is no bacteria, nothing in the stock. Now they have to, come around and create everything new.
That's it. I heard a saying once. It was about they're saying your lifestyle is so crazy and that. And the point was, is die young and have a good looking corpse, you know, like that. So. Yeah.
So 15 years before, when I heard about this, nothing was happening.
Nothing's happening. Before. Everything's So yeah, it's amazing. All research is out there. Yeah, it's like how to get rid of wrinkles. Why not just take an oil bath once a week or twice a week? Yeah, very simple, right? Anucheda 104. Do we finish this? No, wait. So, or Sarahasyam can modify Angam, understand Sadhana Bhakti along with Prem, since the two, Sadhana and Prem, are situated together, causing mutual increase in the same person. Because of the of Prema, you're inspired in your Sadhana. Because of the Sadhana, then the Prema develops. So they're situated together, causing mutual increase. So that's why that's just the natural form. But the sadhana can be used for other things. You can also use it for karma and jnana. You know, you even see is that the really intelligent vikarmis, you know, they figured out, get up early, regulated diet. You know, it's like, it's just, I don't know, one of these newer diets, eat whatever you want, but only within an 8-hour period. And then 16 hours fast. But if you look at it, means, you know, you're not going to, if you eat at breakfast, let's say 9 o'clock. But then you would have, you know, you eat breakfast, you eat lunch, you eat in the evening, but then after that you don't eat anything. So it's all within 8 hours. You know, sometimes it's 9 or 10, but whatever, they say if you eat that, and then the 16, then it doesn't matter what you eat. You know, so that's more close to the traditional diet. What do sadhus do? They eat once a day. So that means once as grains. And you can eat other times, you know, where it wouldn't be. You know, milk, fruit, or, you know, vegetable. You know, all these different things like that, you know. And so then it's just a natural diet. So they're figuring these things out. So, you know, sleeping, you don't want to sleep too much or too little. You know, sleep at night, they get up early. Like that. So all the different things that you would do in sadhana, then the karmis that are intelligent figure out that even their material life goes better. As we're saying, the devotee follows the sadhana, his material life's also taken care of. But that's not his interest. His interest is to please Krishna. And because he's pleasing Krishna, he's performing the activities of sadhana, which develop prema. Right, but at the same time, is because they're mechanical, they also take care of all the material stuff. That's what Varnashram is for. It's just to maintain the body. That's what it does. But then within that, you perform devotional service, and then everything else is taken care of. Does that make sense? So it's just use your intelligence. There's no alternative. You can think, oh, but so many people are enjoying it. Is that who? Who? You know? I heard the other day that in Bollywood, you know, you have all these new actors and this and that, and they're all happening and all that, and somehow the government came down on them because they're all connected with all these criminals and all that. And now how are they enjoying? Right? I mean, of course, jail cells generally, you know, they have, you know, very, it's open in the front, you know, like that, plenty of light and air moving and stuff like that, and yeah, you know, it's quite good, you know. The utensils are really solid, you know, it's not this cheapo stainless steel, it's really good quality, you know. You can hit it with a hammer and nothing will happen, you know, so it's good stuff. You know? Specially designed facilities, you know, like that. It's yeah. But that's what they get. So here, all this, and then what? So it's not, you know. The funniest thing is that, you know, your Lamborghini, it only has a 3-inch clearance. That means any pothole in Bombay or any of those speed bumps, it can't go over. So they have to choose certain roads and routes that they can go on. And that's it. They can't drive anywhere else. Well, the guy driving around his little funny Fiat thing can go anywhere. You know? Some sense. Go anywhere, park it anywhere, no problem. You know, who's going to take your Fiat? You know, it's like, yes.
New model of cars. That's why we find only in Delhi. And the route from Delhi to Vrindavan, 6-lane road, that's where they drive.
Yeah. That's it. You know, yeah, that's your one little drive. You know, like Bombay to Pune, they have that one road. That's it. So. Sorry? Yeah. No, that's also there. They have plenty of time to die, right? Yeah. No? No shortage. Anucheta 104. The Lord gives blessings for the appearance of the attainments, Vijnana and Rahasya. Yavan aham yata bhavo. Yadrupa guna karma kaha tataiva tatva vijnanam astute mad anugrahat. By my mercy, may you attain perfect realization of whatever dimensions, intentions, forms, qualities, and pastimes I manifest. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.32. Right. So all these aspects, like the intentions also, because there's the, you know, the Prajumna aspect. What's his intent? So his intent in the material world is that people can serve Krishna. Okay. Uddhriti, Srila Prabhupada. In the Vedas also it is said that a person cannot know the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, simply by dint of mundane education or intellectual gymnastics. One can know the supreme truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as in the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is said that the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone, and he keeps himself concealed from the faithless by his yogamaya potency. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, qualities, and pastimes. But the Lord is not formless, as wrongly conceived by the impersonalists. But his form is not like one that we have experienced. The Lord discloses his form, even to the extent of measurement, to his pure devotees, and that is the meaning of Yavan, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. The impersonal interpretation of the mundane wranglers is completely refuted in this verse, because it is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord has his qualities, forms, pastimes, and everything that a person has. All these descriptions of the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead are factual realizations by the devotee of the Lord. And by causeless mercy of the Lord, they are revealed to his pure devotee and no one else, and to no one else. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.32, purport. So it's also just thinking, it says, how comfortable it is that Jiva Goswami, in a context, is quoting this verse. Prabhupada's commentary on that verse in Bhagavatam matches. You know, so the point. So in other words, Bhagavatam has one set of points it's making. So all the acharyas are making the same points. So they match so well. My size and my sarup, yavat, right? That was the word, right? That he was saying. Yavan, yeah. So then that's in the verses, yavan. Yeah, yavan. And then when you take it out of that particular Sunday, it'll become yavat or something like that. That's why you see in word for word, the word looks sometimes different than in the verse, because it's taken back to without the particular Sunday in that verse. Like that. Sometimes that's good. My very existence, yatabhava. My spiritual form, such as... So his sarup, his existence, his spiritual forms is the forearm form. My qualities, such as affection for devotees, and my activities... True realization in all these ways should be yours by my mercy. The Lord in this way rejects an impersonal interpretation of the Chaturshloki. The Lord who taught the Chaturshloki says to Uddhava, Pura maya proktam ajaya nabhye padme nishan naya mamadi sarge yanam param man mahi ma vabhasham Yat surayo bhagavatam vadanti. Previously, at the beginning of creation, I spoke to Brahma, sitting on his lotus in the lake of my navel, the highest knowledge, which reveals my pastimes, and which the devotees call the four essential verses of Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.13. This is Kapila Muni's. 3-4?
No, that's before.
It's before.
3-4 is still before.
Oh, okay. By the word vijnanam, realization, not material knowledge, right? Because realization means, so these people in the material world, they don't know, then they understand. But realization means its conclusion. Like that. So it's not material knowledge. So that means even the jnanis in that can't actually have real realization. There might be a glimmer of it, a glimmer of Brahman, but actual realization comes in contact with Krishna. So that's realization. You know, people will use the term like that because it's just when they figure out how to use it. In other words, they have some particular knowledge, they try to... analyze it, they understand it, they try to apply it, they get some practical understanding. So in one sense you can say, yes, that's a kind of realization, because it develops their values and everything. But you see, the effect is it's always material. So it's a material value in karma or jnana. So it's not, the real point is the value in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So... By the word vijnana, realization, not material knowledge, it is clear that the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord arise from His sarup. The verse is clearly a blessing for realization. This is also a blessing for prema, because prema must arise by realization of everything related to the Lord, endowed with the highest bliss, qualities, form, etc. So you see is that from that there's the highest bliss. So he has his name, form, qualities, pastimes, but that gives then ananda. So that's the ananda maya. So you'll start at the vijnana maya, and then you'll come to the ananda maya. So
sometimes we see the difficulty for the sadhakas to continue their practice is that, according to this description, asadhana is in vijnana maya, and then the goal is ananda maya, which is based on mana maya. But our level, as mentioned here, of realization is in prana maya. So then the gap.
And what are we lamenting about?
Complete.
So complete, yes. All five levels of consciousness.
So how can we actually bring it?
Bring it all together.
Yes.
Bring it, how's that, the, what do you call it? Upanaya.
Yes.
How to bring it. The point is the connection of everything with Krishna. So the senses can be engaged in Krishna's service. Right? The social structures and all that, the money and all these kind of things, justice, it's all in context of what pleases Krishna. The rules and regulations of the scriptures and all that are also then how to please Krishna. The Vijnana Maya, we see ourselves as the soul, but as servant of Krishna. Then we're able to act in a capacity where we're able to serve Krishna and take part in his pastimes. Because that's the point, is that bhakti is all-inclusive. So all these five aspects have their origin in various features of bhakti. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're going to have all those different aspects there. It means you're going to have an activity. It means you're going to have an identity. There's going to be the physical facilities. There's going to be knowledge. There's going to be the engagement of the senses. Like that. There's going to be a production of a result from that engagement. Right? There is being situated on that transcendental platform. So even though you're performing activities, it's not for you. So then you remain on the transcendental platform. But the experience then is ananda. So the difficulty comes up as we think that the value is going to be produced by these lower levels of consciousness, but they're not. They only have a value if they're connected to the Supreme Lord. You know, my senses are connected to the Supreme Lord, but I also care and see that everybody else's senses are connected. Right? So, you know, like that. And then how do you do that? How do you know what to do and not do? Because on its own, the anamoy platform is not complete. That's just whatever I feel like. For the pranamoy, it's a little more subtle, but it's still also just what I feel like. And so then the manamoy, then it defines what activities are done, right? But all these are external, like that. Then the Vijnanamaya, that's dealing now with the soul. It's not so external, but it's still not complete. And then Anandamaya, now you're engaging the soul and all those other levels, all in serving the Lord. So all the aspects of karma, from the first dharma, artha, and kama, those are all included in the performance of activities, you know, with appropriate knowledge and attitude. And the effects of jnana, that transcendental position, is also, by mukti, is already accomplished because you're doing things not for yourself. By performing your duties that are recommended without attachment to the results, that will give you liberation. So, but it's for Krishna. So you're getting prema, you're getting liberation, you're getting all, the senses are being engaged in all the material facility. It's all there. So, yeah, so then in that way it's completely perfect. So that's why it's Lord Chaitanya makes the point that faith means having that appreciation that bhakti is all-inclusive. There's nothing... by performing bhakti, whatever can be accomplished and anything else is already gained. You know, you can say, no, but by bhakti, how I'll become a millionaire? It says, would you become a millionaire anyway? You know, the reality is, like, you know, why would you think that... You know, if by now you haven't, or you're not, it's not getting anywhere, you can say, no, but I'm still young. It says, yeah, but the Google Wallets were in the garage at 16. You know? Same with the Apple Wallets. You know? So it's like, you know, what are you talking about? So the whole point is that there's this false sense. Like, I remember once somebody was saying, you know, oh, I'm doing my service, I'm getting this much money. So if you want me to give all that up, you know, I have bills, I have this and that, and do service, you have to give me that much money. But the thing was, is that much money, they may have been getting on a good day, right? They're getting that much money. But the point is how much of that does IRS take? Right? So how much do they actually get? But if you get the devotees, they're just getting that much money. Are they paying a tax? No. So they're getting so much more. Two, can they guarantee that that job they have is always going to be there? Right? You know, after 6 months, a year, 2 years, they could be redundant. You know, things are all adjusting and changing and that, you know. Like that, someone else makes politics, someone else this and that. So they're presenting a false sense of, oh, yes, this is what I'm worth, this is what I can do. But I guarantee you, you check, they're not making that kind of money. They're not living that way. But there's this idea of this is what I can be. And so it's sad. So one has to appreciate that the Anandamaya already includes everything, because that's where it's from. Dharmartha Kama Moksha are simply reflections of Anandamaya. Anandamaya being reflected onto material desire, then you get Dharmartha Kama Moksha. And then in that is because in Anandamaya, they're all perfectly blended because Krishna is the complete whole. So you're engaging with the complete whole, so everything's there. But when you disconnect from the complete whole, then you're going to focus in a particular area. You know? It's like in Australia, they're focused on saving the koalas and the, kangaroos. You know, in America, are they worried about that? No. So it's not about that. They'll be worried about something else. Like not having their Malibu home burned down in the forest fires or something. You know. So that's what's going on there. So it's very different. Even though they're saying, oh, we're all doing the same thing, but everybody's different. Because otherwise, if everybody was the same, why wouldn't there be these, you know, in the cities, these huge communities? You know, huge. You know, you go out, you know, the places would be big, you know. Go out and all that. No, you go out and if you have 2-3 friends, you're doing good. You know, even if you have one friend, you're doing good. You know?
Know the next door person. If you even know the next
door. Yeah, you don't know. Like before was, you know, very cliche, you know, typical thing. Like in America, in the you know, the where people lived in houses, you know, they had, you know, lawns and a garage and backyards and that kind of thing. Then when somebody moved into the neighborhood, all the other neighbors came over and brought something to eat and this and, you know, if they need any help because they're new to the place, they just came, they don't have anything. So everyone comes over and helps. And so then immediately from when you come, then you're part of the neighborhood. Like that. You know, now you wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, who are those weirdos? You know?
And you have a 50-story building.
Sorry?
If you have a 50-story building.
Yeah, you know, and if you're in, what is it called? The Mega City 1, it's 200 stories, you know, so it's like...
It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, okay. I remember Shantanayipur was saying in New York, you know, in the apartment building they were in, it was only, I think, 6 stories. Because I think over there they limit it. 6 stories is all you can have. And so, in the building, I forget how many are on a floor, but at least 2, not more. And he knew no one else in the building. And they were living there for, you know, he was there 20 years. And the neighbors were there 20 years. He never even saw them, let alone knew who they were, let alone interact, you know. You know, it's just like if you know they leave it at this time every day and you're supposed to leave at that time, you'll just stand behind your door and wait till they close the door in here and go down the stairs before you come out. You know, it's just you don't know what you're going to get into, who you're meeting, what's happening. So, it's, yeah, exactly, just what you're saying. It's that nobody's knowing what's up. Nobody cares. So, you know, where are these great communities? So that's the whole thing, is they talk about this one world. But it's like a savanna without the herds. You know, individual animals out there running around and nobody. You know, they can get together for a march, but will they sit down and eat a meal together? You know, would the families marry into each other's family? Would they want to work with them? You know, like that. Would they hire them at their place or work for them? So these kind of things, there's not necessarily. So therefore, that's the whole point, is that as soon as Krishna is not the center, then you have all these things. Probably gives the example of throwing so many pebbles. It's just you have all these rings and they all conflict, and each one doesn't like the other one. You know, it's just like what you know, like just something as simple as the masks. There's so much controversy over the masks. You know, why they're not wearing a mask. You know, why are they wearing a mask? You know, like that. Or you don't have to wear a mask. Or it's our freedom, we don't wear masks. Or it's a conspiracy, there's no actually COVID. They're just saying that to oppress the people. Or, you know, all kinds of weirdo stuff. 100,000 people went out in a sit-in in London, a month and a half or 2 months ago. On that, they were saying there is no coronavirus. It's just made up. They're just governments doing this for some, you know, other purpose to control the people.
In Germany, they have 1 million with this.
Yeah. 1 million with the same.
Before that.
Say, oh, and London can only get together 100,000. Oh, come on, you know. Huh?
Germany.
Yeah, they were better trained and all that. They had more of a history. Yeah. Like two world wars, you know, they know how to get together. Right? You know, so. So you have all it's just insane. You know, so in one group they'll come together for that, but other things they won't be together. You know, so that's the whole point, is that therefore, you know, of 8 million, you know, 400,000 is the smaller part. It's 1/10. You know? Unless, yes.
Well, devotees take it even further. Some of my friends, I ask them, why don't you go for darshan? They say, I'm not wearing that thing. So they don't go to meet Krishna just because the mosque is disturbing. which is actually a fact. It looks weird, but, you know, for the world.
As if you know, you have such a fabulous face, he wants to see your fabulous face every day.
That's awesome.
You know, it's just like that. And, you know, so, you know, says, yeah, the deities are up there, you know, says, oh, he shaved today. So, hey, it doesn't look bad. I kind of like it when he has that little bit of stubble and all that, you know. So, the deities are all saying that. Oh, wow, he wore his red shirt today. That's so nice. You know? Yeah, so.
There's so many protesting, and only the smart ones, they're just producing the masks.
The smart ones make the masks and all that. And
like that. Really.
Yes.
One more challenge comes here in the same way. This mind only has the experience of lower forms of taste. And there is no experience of higher things. So mind tends to, all the intellectual understanding, then this is better.
But yeah.
Mind tends to, because of experience, is more powerful than knowledge for our school.
Okay. But the point is that how much of your experience is based on other people's? So everything you know, you've gained through your own senses on your own endeavor. Or have you heard from others?
Mixed.
Like all those years of school, actually you were just doing it on your own. You didn't hear from anybody. No books, no anything. You just went in the classroom. You just touched the petri dish and downloaded unlimited knowledge and all that, right? Yeah, practical. I mean, something. You can just go out, buy a petri dish, and sit at home, and you know, become a, you know, like that. that you heard from others. And so what it is, it's just like, why did you have such a drive for your degree? Right? Did you do underwater basket weaving and still even then you failed? But
you get hired.
Yeah, and who told you that? I mean, it's like when you were 5 years old, you knew that that's what you wanted to do, or you thought that, you know, eating chaat and running around all day was more important. Right? So, therefore, did you not hear that from others? And, you know, from those who you would trust and see as authority. Right? And so, therefore, then you adjust your life according to that. So then, here we don't have so many authorities we're not hearing from. Is Prahlad Maharaj doing okay? He's king of the demons. That's seven planetary systems. Seven. You know? And then here on eight, then you take that, one 300th, like that is what we're dealing with here. And that's still, even that, they only get part of it. You know, everyone says they're the emperor, but it's, they've only have part. You know, what is this? What's a Macedonian? Alexander. He was the emperor. But it was just, you know, from Macedonia over to India and back. And that's it, you know, in that line. Like that. You know, then what was it, you know, Caesar's the emperor. You know, so he had around the Mediterranean and kind of had a little hold in France and didn't even bother crossing the Rhine into Germany. Right? They were just crazy. You know? French were tough. Took them years to conquer them, but they weren't crazy, you know, like that, you know. So he could relate to them. But the Germans, no, it was a rule. You stay on that side of the river, we'll stay on this side, and we won't bother each other. Like that. But he's the emperor, you know. And then Louis, he had France, and then, you know, down Italy and some little bit out like that. But, you know, he didn't have, like, Poland and places like that. Then then Poles, they were the emperors like that, and they had all around them, you know, any place where they produced beer and all that, so they had those countries like that, and then they enjoyed the benefits of being emperor until nobody defeated them, came and fought. They just were so busy drinking beer that everybody just went back to normal and they became whatever places they were. They didn't even notice. You know, Russia, they're also, you know, the Tsar, I mean Caesar, you know, probably the biggest mass of land that anybody has called themselves, you know, the Caesar on. You could probably say he had the biggest piece, but it did include Siberia and, you know, a lot of polar bears and stuff, you know, but whatever, it's still, by land mass, the biggest, you know. All small time. Prahlad Maharaj, seven planetary systems. Not bad.
He's still there.
Yeah, he's still there. Like that. And so, is he doing okay? So then, what's the problem? And he's saying that all this is useless without being devotee of Krishna. So therefore, you choose your aptas, you know, the Mahajans, or your local, you know, how you say, family scene. Because even you do all the things that they say, it still will not be enough. No matter how much money you make, or why aren't you making more? You know, it doesn't matter. You come back with a crore, it says only one crore, you know. You know, this one said he made two. You know, so you'll never. Okay. So don't worry. That makes sense? Yeah. Okay, Vritti, having outlined what is taught in the Chatushloki verses, right? In other words, the point of his sarup, existence, spiritual forms, qualities, activities, realization, all these different things. So that's defined in the Chaturshloki. The next two anuchetas elaborate on the first and second verses of the Chaturshloki, where the Lord explains his qualities, which are the subject of knowledge and realization. So one anucheta for one shloka then.
Yes.
Okay. Anucheta 105. Having outlined what will be taught in the four verses, first the Lord explains his qualities, which are the subject of knowledge and realization in two verses. For knowledge, he says, Aham evasam evagre nanyad yat sadasat param. Paschad aham yat etachcha yo vashishyeta som yaham. I alone, who am non-different from that which is superior to all cause and effect, existed previous to creation of the universe. I alone exist as the universe after the creation of the universe. And I alone remain at the destruction. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33 Udhriti. Srila Prabhupada, we should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis himself, pointing out that it is he, the personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. It is he only who maintains the creation, and it is he only who remains after the annihilation of the creation. So after the creation is wound up, all that remains is him. Brahma is also a creation of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist puts forth the theory of oneness in the sense of Brahma also being the principle of I, because he is an emanation from the I, the absolute truth, is identical with the Lord, the principle of I, and that there is thus nothing more than the principle of I, is explained in this verse. That they give up mine to, you know, they want to be God, but God says it's mine. So how can they be God? Because, you know, they've given up the sense of mind. Accepting the argument of the impersonalist, it is to be admitted that the Lord is the creator I and Brahma is the created I. Right? So we don't have a problem. Okay, you want to discuss on the platform of God, but then there's the big God and the small God. You know, there's the big God who is not destroyed, and there's the little God who gets into a motorcycle accident and has a problem. Right? Like that. Therefore, there's a difference between the two I's, namely the predominator I and the predominated I. Therefore, there are still two I's, even accepting the argument of the impersonalist. But we must note carefully that these two I's are accepted in the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad, in the sense of quality. The Katha Upanishad says, so how are they one? Because if one's predominated, one's predominated, there must be a difference. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovididhati kaman. The creator I and the created I are both accepted in the Vedas as qualitatively one, because both of them are nityas and chetanas, right? They're both eternal and conscious. But the singular I is the creator I, and the created I's are a plural number because there are many I's, like Brahma and those generated by Brahma. It is the simple truth. The father creates or begets a son, and the son also creates many other sons, and all of them may be one as human beings. But at the same time, from the father, the son, and the grandsons are all different. The son cannot take the place of the father, nor can the grandsons. Simultaneously, the father, the son, and the grandsons are one and different only, or different also. As human beings, they are one, but as relatives, they are different. Therefore, the relativities of the creator and the created, or the predominator and the predominated, have been differentiated by the Vedas by saying that the predominator I is the feeder of the predominated I's. And thus there's a vast difference between the two principles of I. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33 purport. Yeah. So it's just a matter of understanding. So they say I'm Brahman. Yes, you are, but you're a small Brahman and Krishna's big Brahman. Okay. that? And how will the small become the big? Because you remain that way.
This point actually is very difficult to understand and to explain how relativity exists in an absolute.
Yes.
That the three features, they're absolute, but also relative to one another.
Yes, but the point is it becomes easy because they're all relative to Krishna in his original Sarup. So that means Paramatma is an expansion, Brahman is an expansion, the material world, the jivas, his energies. So in that way, then the relativity means how everything relates to Krishna. But if you take out, so that's the spiritual relativity. But the material relativity, then you take out Krishna, then you're trying to see what's the connection between everything on its own, externally. So that becomes very difficult to establish. You know, so the physicists have been working on this for a long time. But it's because they're leaving out the one factor that is the point that you are showing the relativity towards. So then it all works nicely. Then it falls into place. So if everything you do, just like we were saying before, you take the five levels of consciousness, you see them all connected to Krishna, then you just have one level of consciousness, Ananda Maya. So that's what's also bewildering, is that the devotee can externally is working on any of those levels. But the consciousness is just one. You know, so they see, oh, they're engaging their senses, so how can they be liberated? You know? Oh, they're not following all the rules and regulations. Oh, they're following all the rules and regulations. Okay. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that that's why Vaishnavas aren't understood, because it's just about Vishnu. So you can't expect that anybody else will appreciate because of that then want to take part. You know, it's just like when, let's say you walk down the street and, you know, let's say because someone dresses similar to you or something relatable, that means that you want to be them and do what they do and live their lifestyle? No. So then why would it be that, oh, we're devotees, we have to dress like them, and so they relate, then they'll want to be one of us. Where would that come? How does that logic work? No, it's because of the consciousness, that's why they're attracted. Externally, they, you know, everybody knows, it's just like that religious people may not be, you know, the top in fashion or material facilities or this or that, you know? Like you know, Buddhists don't have a wristwatch. They don't use wristwatches. At least the Thai Buddhists. I don't know about other ones, but they just have a rule. They don't use watches. And they can keep a clock, but in that little side bag they have, so they pull out an alarm clock from there to see the time and stick it back. You know, so you don't expect them. You know, they're not going to come out, you know, in, like, let's say, you know, nice Oxfords or something like that. They're going to be wearing their, you know, flip-flops or some other shoe that works. You know, it's just, that's that nobody thinks it'll be different. You know? So that's the whole point, is that no one expects, but they expect you to, you know, be nice, be proper, you know, the character and all those things that they would expect. And that's the Vaishnava etiquette anyway. So then it works out. But this idea, no, you have to dress like them, then they'll want to become like us. It's like, that's the first thing, is nobody wants to be exactly like someone else. You know, if you're walking down the road and you bump into someone else that's dressed exactly as you, then, you know, depending on the day, you might laugh and then keep walking, and or, you know, who knows, but it's not going to... So, yeah. So, the individuality is appreciated. You know, so but the point is it's relative to the Lord, and then anybody can be an individual, but at the same time they have community because the Lord. But if it's not on pure devotion, like you find those who are more committed to the concept of pure devotion, there's more of a sense of community between them than those who is less than that. Those who are less, then there'll be much more on the externals. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.